You're listening to Sportsnet Today
with Logan Gordon
on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Cabri drops it. Uyghur walks in and centers it. Bouncing puck. And it's cleared to the far corner. Here's Cabri. Back to the blue line to Anderson. Near circle to Uyghur. Centers. Sharangovich, a one-timer stop by Rudick. And that will do it. The sea of red rises here at Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames with one of the most impressive performances of the season. Score a season high 3 power play goals and add an even strength marker as well as they snap their 5-game losing streak with a 4-2 victory over their rival, the Kings.
Well, it's been a while since the Sea of Red has had anything to cheer about. But Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome, 4-2 over the LA Kings. Now set to continue their grind to the end of the regular season with a Tuesday showdown in Anaheim. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Happy Monday. Happy April 1st. Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For our friends at Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, wet basement, they have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Busy show for you alongside my outstanding producers Cam and Shan on this Monday. We'll chat with Harner Ryan Singh, play-by-play voice for Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. He was on the call Saturday at the Dome. Get his thoughts on a big win for the Calgary Flames. We'll also check in with our pal Sam Cosentino. Continue to get closer to the NHL offseason and draft season at the focus for a lot of fans here in Calgary. We'll get some prospect thoughts from Sam, but also take a look at some of the more intriguing storylines around the NHL as playoff positioning and playoff seeding begins to finalize over the last couple weeks of the NHL season. Plus, a check-in with the Toronto Blue Jays as they get set to kick off another road series in Houston after splitting a series against the Rays. Quick reminder, the fan feedback line is always open to you here on Sportsnet Today. Shoot us a text if you're listening live at 960-960. We would love to hear from you on this Monday edition of Sportsnet Today. We're kicking things off, chatting all things Calgary Flames. And I wonder if even Team Tank had to feel a little bit good about Saturday night. I know that draft position means a lot, and I'm not even going to argue that potentially the best path forward for the Calgary Flames is to get as high a draft pick as possible this season, because I do think it's a valuable conversation to be had. But after everything that had gone wrong for this team, after a tough losing streak, after a really, really tough look for the group in St. Louis, where they probably deserved a better fate, it just felt good to see them get rewarded for some hard work on Saturday. And that's what I think is the most important part of all of this, is I don't want to think that, you know, this group isn't going to feel somewhat rewarded when they do the good things, even if it doesn't mean the results. And I mean that it was great to get the win on Saturday. It was great to see them end the losing streak. But sometimes that reward needs to be there. And it's got to be more than just the coach saying you had a good game or putting up 2 points on the stat line. That's great for guys. But at the end of the day, these guys are competitors. They want to win more than anything. And they understand they're probably under-talented against most teams they're going to face. They're taking on some teams that have more to play for than them down the stretch. There are just factors that are going to lead to them losing more games than winning the rest of the season. But for guys like Blake Coleman and Nazem Kadri, Mackenzie Uyghur, I thought had a great game Saturday. Some of those veteran guys, I don't know. I don't think that they're just satisfied by having a good personal game. I think the reward has to come some nights from 2 points on the ice and 2 points in the standings, even if that might go against the grain as to where the future of the organization is leading, I still think sometimes the end of the day, the best thing for those guys is the 2 points, and they were fully earned on Saturday. I'm sure a lot of Flames fans probably feel the same way. It's still nice to watch Drew Doughty lose. I'm still okay with that guy getting booed every time he comes to the Dome. Like, agreed. You know, it's okay with me, Shan. If we have to take 2 points off of anybody, I'm okay that it's Drew Doughty.
The Kings being one of those teams you take 2 points off of, I'm fine with that. I mean, obviously still a division rival, but that's a team that's trying to make a playoff push. And there's been many times where LA and Calgary have met coming down the stretch during a playoff push. And I don't think that bad blood will ever dissipate. I know Tkachuk is obviously gone, and that was the big thing, Tkachuk and Doughty. But I always find those Calgary-LA games are entertaining, and we weren't expecting it to be entertaining because they run the 1-3-1. And that was a big concern, like, oh, geez, I don't know how Calgary's going to match up with this. And they played a great game. So, yeah, even if you are team tank, those 2 points, that's a victory that carries forward for a while, not just for a couple days.
And the power play. Remember the power play that doesn't ever score, that doesn't ever generate offense? All of a sudden, 3-for-6 against a pretty good penalty kill for the Los Angeles. Now, they were without Philippe Deneau. I will say that. It's worth mentioning, one of their better penalty killers didn't play on Saturday, but they still scored 3. I thought they looked as dangerous as they have all season. You get another sense that, man, Andre Kuzmenko, there's something there with that guy. When he's on offensively, he might be as dangerous a player offensively as this group has right now.
Well, and when Julian was in on Thursday, we were talking about this, and I mentioned to him that if you get to watch warmups, this is with Peter Klein, and I said, if you get to watch his warmups, he's ridiculous. The things that he does. And then Julian comes on and he goes, the first thing he says about Kuzmenko is, if you watch warmups, like it shows how unbelievably talented he is. And I think we can all agree that the problem is the consistency / the effort night in, night out. But when he's on, he is on. One of the few games I got to go to this year was the game against Seattle, where he had the only 2 goals for Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
He looked dynamic. And it was the same thing against St. Louis. And we saw a little bit of that against LA as well. The pass to Pospisil was beautiful. So we're starting to see, and we have seen flashes of it, but if we get a consistent Andre Kuzmenko here in Calgary, that he will skyrocket towards being the fan favorite and someone that I think this organization will have to consider keeping down the road.
He looked great on Saturday, another 2 assists, and you had to wonder for Andre Kuzmenko, whether it's with Calgary or whether it's with somebody else, certainly looks like an offensive asset for whoever it is going forward. Flames go 3-for-6 on the power play. Honestly, even more so than I was impressed with Calgary on Saturday, Shan, I was pretty disappointed in LA, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Of all the teams that we're talking about locking down playoff spots, and they're almost at that spot. Let's be honest. St. Louis, you kind of crapped the bed against San Jose, and you got shut out. Now you're 5 back of L.A. It kind of feels like that might be – we might have our 8 teams in the West now. That's the best you got, L.A.? Like, I wasn't overly impressed with that group on Saturday. I already had some doubts about where they sat in the Western Conference. But, I mean, I just have no idea that it doesn't look like a team that's going on a long run to me. And that Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, I'm sorry, I don't mean to drag on a guy. That guy's just skating around.
Yeah.
He is cruise control for 90% of the game. You gave up some really good assets to Winnipeg to get that guy to be a difference maker for your team. And he is on easy street right now. Pierre-Luc Dubois, what are you doing out there for the LA Kings? You guys have some serious things to figure out in the next couple weeks. You got less than 10 games.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a round one matchup against Vancouver or Dallas right now. That's not good. If that's the LA team that shows up against a playoff team, they're going to get smoked in 4.
Well, we talked about it earlier in the season, and I'm sure many people would agree with myself when I say this, that early on in the season, they looked like a full-out contender. they were firing on all cylinders minus Pierre-Luc Dubois. Everyone else, I mean, Byfield took a big step, and Kopitar has not regressed somehow. It's unbelievable.
He's ageless, apparently.
Apparently. And what we saw from LA in the beginning of the season was like, yeah, this is a dominant two-way team. I don't really understand how they cannot be a contender. And then they fell off the face of the earth, like complete nosedive down. And I don't know if Philip Deneau, if he is the answer, if that's why they were a little slow against Calgary, but they didn't look great at all. And for a team that, yeah, like they're going to get in, probably going to play either those top teams or even the Oilers, who they've lost to twice in a row. And I think this team is built down the middle and the two-way game to beat a team like the Oilers. It's just when you go into the playoffs with nothing going for you, you lose all of that. It doesn't matter how much talent you have nothing going for you.
Pierre-Luc Dubois in 17:25 of ice time on Saturday registered one hit.
Yeah, he's just a ghost.
That's it. Not a shot, not a penalty, not an assist, nothing. In 18 minutes almost of ice time.
And if I'm not mistaken,
what?
Yeah, but he has a no trade clause after the season. They had the first year of his contract where he could be traded. Now you got a no trade clause for the next 7 years?
I think it's the potential that gets everybody so excited.
Well, yeah.
Of like a big bodied center iceman. But this is a guy that, like, I think his career high, I'm going to check it here in a second, is like 62 points. Don't get me wrong, it's nothing to sneeze at. But for the price that teams are paying for this guy, at $8.5 million going forward, he's got 35 points this season. His career high last year was 63. He's been traded twice already.
And
gross.
There's one underlying reason. There's one common denominator as to why he's not working on these teams. And it's the consistency / the work ethic.
Big old dash 12 on the Kings, too.
On a, like, yes, they've had their stretch. This is a good team. To be a dash 12 on this team is pretty shocking.
Yeah, and as we're talking about the playoff standings, this text comes in at 960-960. To your point, Shan, does LA even really want third in the Pacific to match up with Edmonton again? I don't know that any spot really works for them.
No.
They're three back of Vegas for that spot. They probably don't want Edmonton again, but do you want Dallas or Vancouver? I mean, maybe Vancouver, the division rival thing.
Yeah.
You can go off of that a bit. I still wouldn't love that matchup for LA, and I certainly wouldn't like them against Dallas. I think Dallas would rip them apart.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think the only team that's really going to find a way to take down Dallas is an offensive juggernaut, because Jake Oettinger is not playing his best hockey right now. LA, yes, they've got some serious offensive talent. They're not scoring 6 goals a game. No. They've got guys like
not
Kempe.
Not when they had 18 shots on goal on Saturday.
Yeah, it didn't even look like Calgary was just dominating them. It also just looked like LA was bad.
Yeah, that's not that a good effort from the Flames, no doubt, on Saturday.
For
but,
sure.
Man, I definitely walked away from that thinking, yeah, I think I have a different view of LA heading into the playoffs than I do with some of the other 8 teams that it looks like. I'll check in with the head coach, Ryan Huska. Lots of good from his team. They snapped a losing streak. They're getting set to head out to Anaheim on Tuesday to take on the Ducks. Here's what the head coach had to say following a victory on Saturday night against the LA Kings.
For the first time this season, you guys got 3 power play goals in a game. I mean, we've talked about the power play a lot. How does it feel to have 3 power play goals in the game and see it work so well tonight?
It was the difference in the game, right? So I thought they did a really good job. The one unit, 2 face-off goals face-off wins, which is a really big thing. And then the other unit shot the puck. So it's a good thing. So they should feel good about themselves tonight when they leave the rink.
How do you feel about your group's overall defensive effort? I mean, 15 shots against even strength, less than 20 overall. Overall, what worked for your team away from the puck?
Yeah, I loved it tonight. I thought we did a really good job. You know, I think for us, it's more about the pressure up the ice, I think, that allowed us to have some success. Then I thought our guys were very detailed in the neutral zone. So they did a good job with our structure and made it hard for them to get through us. And then when they did in the third period a little bit, I thought Markey was excellent.
We just had a long chat with Rasmus Anderson about some of the young players and influencing them right now.
What does it say when you see him block a shot? I know they score moments later, but then the Mackenzie Weegar shift on the kill, he eats a whole bunch of blocks as well. What's the impact that has on the young players?
Well, you'd like to think that they're going to pay attention to what they're seeing. I mean, that's the first thing. And I think there's standards, and whether you're in the playoffs, if you're out of the playoffs, you have to have standards and expectations of yourself first and foremost, and then of your teammates. That's the next thing. So if you're going to do things like that, then it's easy for you to expect someone else to do the same thing. And if you're looking to build something, those are things that are very important.
What's your reaction when that goal goes in after Rasmus blocks it and he just is too hobbled to kind of get there and close?
I was still steaming a little bit about the penalty. And we talk about young guys, there's a lesson that you learn against really good teams. So recognizing who you're on the ice with at certain times is an important thing. And then against good power plays, you don't want to give them opportunities. And they have a good power play. So, but having said that, I thought our overall game tonight was maybe one of our more complete ones of the year.
How important is Nazem Kadri, just the hits, the offensive aggression? How important was he tonight?
He was one of our best players, I thought. I mean, he brought people into the game. And when Naz is at his best, he drags people into the fight with him, whether it's a hit or if he's going in the net hard or he's making a good play. And he seemed to find a little chemistry with Kuzi as well lately. So Pospi's been Pospi. He just does his thing when he's on the ice. But I think when Naz is engaged, he's a driver, and he sucks people into the game with him.
We've spoken about how Nazem Kadri has helped young players on the ice, in particular Connor and Martin. How would you describe him as an influence on younger players in the locker room and off the ice?
I think what you see on the ice is what you see in the room as well. Naz is a vocal guy. When something's going the right way, he'll pat guys in the back. If things aren't going the way they should be going, he'll make sure people know it. And I think over probably his career, he's learned how to handle or tailor his message the right way to certain people, and that's part of being a little bit older or maturing or growing up, whatever you want to call it. So I think he's got a good handle on whether guys need a push or a kick or a hug.
Is there a certain value with a guy like Naz? Like, he's a guy, and you have other guys like this, but he's won in this league. You know, he's a guy who I'm sure is frustrated about where this team is in the standings. When he's setting the tone in a game that, you know, some people might look at and say, well, geez, it's sort of done for the season. Does that have a different sort of value?
Yeah, I mean, and I would put Blake in that category too. So I don't think when you have guys that understand or winning is something that drives them, or they hate losing more than they like to win, it's infectious, as we talked earlier about that. And I think with Naz continuing to play the way he's played for the majority part of the year, I think it sends a real strong message to everybody. And he's played on Stanley Cup champion teams. Blake's played on them, so they have a real good handle on what it takes to win.
It's one thing for the players to try to motivate each other when they're in a stretch like this where the playoffs do look out of reach. How's it like for you to get your guys motivated from a coaching?
We are the same as we've been. Like, we have to, whether it's game one or game 72 or 73, we're pushing. We want to get them to a level where they expect the same things that we do. So, and part of it's bringing young guys along, as we've talked about a little bit, but it's part of it is demanding a lot from your older players as well. So that's kind of where our messaging's been over the last little while.
Given his pretty profound comments tonight, just Rasmus, a similar question, how have you seen him evolve as a leader in your time?
Well, I saw Raz when he was just a young fella. But I think it's, for him, it's a lot of growing up too. So for when I look at Raz, it's a little bit more of he wants to be a guy that's used in every situation. And early on, when you're a younger guy, everybody thinks I have to be out there for all offensive things. And why am I not out there in those situations? Well, it's as important now to him to be out at the end of a game like tonight. So I think that's where the growth in his game has come from. So he's maturing. Again, he's getting older.
What have been your impressions of Matthew Coronato these last few games?
I think Matthew's been pretty good. He's given us some good minutes. I feel like he's got a little bit of confidence again with the puck. He's made some good plays with it, yet he's still working. I feel like he's a little bit more re-energized than he was earlier when he was up with us, and maybe that's because he hasn't played quite as much, or we haven't practiced as much because of the way our schedule's been, but I feel like he's got some energy back.
All right.
I just get one more?
Sure.
We keep talking about young guys. I'm sure you heard that the Wranglers clinched a playoff spot tonight. You can coach at that level. You got a bunch of guys up now. Can you just the developmental importance of knowing those kids in your AHL team are going to get some playoff seasoning this year?
It's a really big thing. And it's hard to, when you look at the year that they've had, we've taken a lot of guys off their roster, a lot of guys. And for them to keep, you know, trudging along the way they have and finding ways to win, with us having taken a lot of their best players, as I mentioned, I think it's a credit to their entire staff, from Pask to Culler and all of his guys there. But to get the opportunity to play and hopefully play a long time in the playoffs is valuable for young guys. You don't get that experience anywhere else. And we've talked a lot about the American League, how important it is for young guys, and you don't have to feel like you have to rush them. It's okay for them to play there. It's even better if they get playoff experience.
Do events like the South Asian Night really bring the team together?
I think they're cool nights because everybody, how can I say this? Hockey is something that has really become about everybody and inclusion and bringing different people into the mix. And the South Asian Night tonight, you know, everybody has friends that are, you know, from all the different areas, I guess I can say. So I think they're neat nights for the guys. They enjoy it. And you get a chance to learn a little bit about different cultures as well. You know, I know they look up and they see the different outfits that people are walking down the stairs with at times. All that stuff is neat for the players to see. And being a part of these events are really neat for them, for sure.
There you go. Checking with head coach Ryan Huska following a win for the Flames on Saturday night there. Lots from the head coach. Lots of praise for some of the veteran guys keeping the team afloat during this tough time of the season for the Flames. Quick checking on the text line at 960-960. We're taking texts from you all day long here on Sportsnet today. Our pal Shubes checking in. Sick, but still getting ready for the week with us on Sportsnet today. Appreciate you checking in, Shubes. This text says, I was there on Saturday. Fun game, fun crowd. It was a great atmosphere on Saturday. Nothing beats Hockey Night in Canada for sure. Going back to our conversation with Andre Kuzmenko, this text says, why do you think he's so inconsistent? Even Kadri said when he's on, he's very good. Finding that consistency key for a guy like Kuzmenko. He can never turn it on for an extended period of time. Man, I would wonder what kind of player they would get. We were talking about the Kings and sort of their struggles and maybe how they're not a favorite heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. This text came in and said, I feel like everyone also thought they would regress after their hot start because of how hot Talbot was. He couldn't sustain a .935 save percentage. Yeah, we saw David Riddick on Saturday, but Cam Talbot will be the guy, no doubt, on game one for the LA Kings in the postseason.
He was their all-star.
He was. His numbers have dropped. They're still good.
Yeah.
In 47 appearances, a .244 goals against and a .916 save percentage. But, you know, is that enough for that? Like, is he going to steal a series for the LA Kings? I don't think that's what we're talking about. And our pal Matt Cochran checking in. Still find it crazy the trade that Winnipeg traded Laine for Pierre-Luc Dubois. Yeah, it feels like a long time ago that happened. And we were trying to figure out what was going to happen with those two players looking for a new start. I don't know that it's worked out tremendously for Laine in Columbus. He's dealt with some injuries and hasn't really regained that form that everyone got really excited about during his time in Winnipeg when he scored 44 goals in his second season. He only played 18 games this year. He's got 9 points. Coming off a year where he had 52 the year before. So it hasn't really worked out for either. But, I mean, he's on his second team. Dubois on his third, and it still hasn't seemed to work yet for the LA Kings. We'll have to watch how that goes because he'll be a focal point for the Kings when the playoffs start in a couple weeks' time. We'll have more on the Calgary Flames coming up next. Our pal Ryan Singh is going to join us, the voice of Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet Zone. He's going to join us. He was on the mic Saturday night across the country calling the Flames and the LA Kings. We'll check in with Harn Ryan, get his thoughts on this Flames team. When we come back, it's a Sportsnet Today. It's a Monday edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, hour one rolling on this Monday edition of Sportsnet Today. Logan Gordon along with you. Big win for the Calgary Flames on Saturday night against the LA Kings. Next up, a little one-game swing. Oh, no, they're still at home, excuse me. And I'm Ducks in town on Tuesday. And then a quick jaunt off to Winnipeg for a one-game swing on Thursday for another edition of Hockey Night in Canada. The final Battle of Alberta of the season coming up on Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We'll be on it. Flames back at practice on this Monday. We'll get you set for the Flames and Ducks on Tuesday's edition of the program. But right now, very happy to welcome in down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, the man on the call Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome, Sportsnet Zone, also the voice of Hockey Night in Punjabi, and fellow MRU alumni, Harryan Singh, joining me this afternoon. Harryan, thanks for the time, man. How you doing?
Good, good. And yes, great to be on with you.
Great to have you on, sir. Big night on Saturday, not only on the call across the country, but, you know, South Asian Celebration Night at the Scotiabank Saddledome, the first of its kind, and you got to be the in-house voice for that as well as people on TV. How cool was that from a personal standpoint, Harryan?
You know what? That was just absolutely incredible. A lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, we're so lucky here for so many years. We have one of the best in the business in terms of Beasley for a PA and an announcer. And I've always had a, you know, I've had a liking towards doing that role. So way back in the day, there's no proof of this because smartphones and social media did not exist. But for the University of Calgary Dinos, I did PA announcing for volleyball, basketball, and then for Mount Royal College, that's what it was back in those
days.
It
was, yeah.
Cougars, yeah. For Cougars, volleyball, basketball, and hockey, I did PA announcing as well, and I always enjoyed it. I even sang the national anthem back in those days, and it was awesome because when I was standing there singing it, and I would like kind of look around in the crowd, and people would do a double take, like the guy with the turban singing the national anthem. But I love it, right? And yeah. To this day, you know, I love doing all of these roles in broadcasting, and that's one I find that is so much fun. And I enjoyed every second of it. And it was really cool, like, that the Flames decided to involve me that way. And you know, the ceremonial puck drop and the first ever South Asian Heritage Night, what a special moment for the community. And, you know, these are very important theme nights. I know sometimes the traditionalists in our game are like, oh, come on, get on with the game. But
yeah,
this gives a sense of belonging for the community in the game. Like, I grew up in Southern Alberta. I went to Flames games growing up. I loved watching the game. The thrill of watching NHL hockey was like second to none. But my experience in the stands or on the concourse or in the parking lot, it wasn't always positive, right? And
yeah,
and I couldn't have imagined that there would have been a theme night like this that we're having now back when I was a kid, because you were just trying to fit in. And this is an acknowledgement by the Flames that there's so many people from so many different backgrounds who are fans are involved in the game, and it raises awareness, right? And it's the power of representation. And so it was a fantastic evening. Great job by the Flames. The Oilers just did their first South Asian Heritage Night just a week before, and this is Alberta, and this is happening here, and it makes me feel proud to be an Albertan that the Oilers and Flames have decided to go about this way.
How much have you seen from a personal standpoint, Hunter Ryan? You talked a little bit about it there, but how much in your own community have you seen hockey grow? Because it was so cool for Saturday to be there and, you know, to see not only yourself, but Roghav was there and, you know, so many other, and Dampy Brar was there, you know, guys that are, you know, very prominent members of your community who have such a loving to hockey and have such a great communication with this group. And you mentioned it right there, you know, you never really thought you would see a South Asian celebration, you know, at a Flames game. How much has it grown since you remember being a young hockey fan, and how much has it expanded in your own community?
Yeah, it's really incredible to see the passion. I think the community, they've always been huge hockey fans, and I'm talking way back, you know, I'm talking early 90s, late 80s, when, you know, the first ever South Asian player, Robin Bava, played in the NHL, and people remember that moment of like where they were when he first played. And then, you know, you skip to Manny Malhotra, to Jajar Khera, and even now for the Flames, like having Nazem Kadri on the team and what that means to his community, It's so incredibly important, and it helps grow the game. And I think we've seen a lot of seeds that have been planted. There's so much talk about how difficult it is to be successful, to get to the professional level in terms of the NHL or in the hockey world because of costs and all sorts of different obstacles and challenges. But those obstacles and challenges are multiplied so much when you're from a diverse community, because you may want to play the game, but, you know, even as parents, when your kids are in the game, I still receive messages from families whose kids are in minor hockey and, you know, their kids on a certain game were called a horrible, you know, or they experience, I'll just be blatant, you know, they experience racism.
Yeah.
And on the ice, off the ice, parents, these are discussions that happen. And that continues to this day. I mean, me just being who I am and being on Hockey Night in Canada, like it's mind-boggling and heartbreaking to me to see how many times I am referred to just as a diversity hire. And it's not easy to hear that when, you know, I know what I've gone through to get to this point in my career, a ton of sacrifice and commitment from my family and how many years and years of, you know, waiting out for these opportunities. And, you know, it's easier for people today to just say whatever the heck they want to say on social media and stuff. And that's why these types of nights are so important, to be able to just take a deep breath and enjoy that, okay, we do have a role in the game. And, you know, it is really about telling the next generation that, hey, for my own kids, nobody can tell you that you can't be a sports broadcaster anymore, because there's people from your community, there's women, everybody's finally involved. It's only very recent where this has all begun, right? And so it's just so, so important, not only for the communities, but even for the Flames and Oilers. These teams need it for the bottom lines, for tickets. The NHL needs it to grow the fan base. There's so many different aspects as to why it is just so vital and so important.
Really well said, friend. I really appreciate you sharing your perspective on it, because as cool as it was on Saturday, you know, it's just the first time, and to think in 2024 we're just getting to that point can be a bit frustrating for some, but I definitely wanted to give you a chance to highlight your own experience of it, but also you experienced the game on Saturday as well, and that was a lot of fun. I know for Flames fans, this is kind of a tough part of the season, Hunt Ryan, knowing that they're not going to the playoffs, and the last couple games can be a bit of a grind, but sometimes playing spoiler can give you that little bit of motivation. What did you see from the Flames on Saturday on the ice?
Well, it was just, it was really surprising that Los Angeles, they didn't come out to play. And I know some of the Flames players were talking about how they would need to match the Kings' intensity or urgency. And I remember just looking at the shot totals in disbelief. I mean, the Flames outshot the Kings 16-4 in the first period. And that really tells the story of how dominant the Flames were in this game. And it's surprising given the situation that the Kings are in, where they need to keep pace with Vegas and Nashville, and they have teams like the St. Louis Blues on their tail. And, you know, look at that power play success, right? We're finally seeing, and especially at home where the Flames power play has been absolutely dismal for the majority of the season, and to see the three power play goals in it was pretty remarkable, and what a great effort. And I think that's been the most positive storyline that you can take out of this Flames season. And I mentioned it on the air too, the never quit attitude. I mean, look at what this team has gone through right from the beginning of the season. Michael Backlund, you know, captaincy, it's been such a roller coaster of emotions dealing with. You've got players who've been here for a while. You've got players who've played with each other. You know, Markstrom talked about Tanev and how they played with each other for how many years, even going back to the Canucks. It's tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all decided to come here together. And then you had the Zadorov stuff. It was incredible. Like, Elliot Friedman, our Sportsnet colleague, was like leading off Saturday headlines like almost every single weekend, with the top story was the Flames. So it was just, it was quite the season, but, you know, I think there's a lot of positives. Craig Conroy was in such a difficult position, but I think he's done a good job. And now all of a sudden players are playing for opportunities, and you have to insulate them with veterans. And I think the Flames have that in guys like Gaudry and guys like Coleman and guys like Backlund. And then Sharon Govich is such a great story. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of intrigue next season too, because if you look beyond next season, that's when there's actually so many more contract negotiations or contract decisions that Conroy is going to have to make, because guys like Mangiapane and Kuzmenko and Sharangovic, even Rooney, you know, the list goes on there. There's a lot of UFAs after next season, right? There's the whole Markstrom thing. But I think what's exciting for a Flames fan is nowadays it's about a retool. You don't really see too many teams like, you know, scorch the earth mentality. You kind of retool on the fly. And I think there are some, you know, it's promising to see that the players didn't give up throughout everything they went through. And I think that's going to carry over into future, into next season.
Speaking of that, how important do you think it is having that mindset down this last stretch for some of those young guys we've talked about? It's been really fun to see Zari and Pospisil on a regular basis. Those guys have really been fun. But even for Matt Coronato to, you know, come up here the last little while, Harnerine, and get that mentality from the veteran guys that, yeah, you know what, the season didn't go our way, but it's still not okay to wave the white flag for the last 10 or 12 games. Isn't that going to be a big thing for the youngsters going forward too?
And that's just it. You know, you about creating a winning culture. I know that there's a pretty, you know, strong vocal part of the fan base that would rather see a lower or a higher draft pick, I should say. And, you know, winning, gaining points at this time in the season when the playoffs are out of the picture, that is the kind of the ultimate controversy that a fan base can have with one another. But I strongly feel that, like, look at what the Canucks did with Rick Tocchet coming in last season. If he's not there laying down the expectations and the guidelines and preaching the style that he wants and teaching and ensuring that players are held accountable. If he doesn't come in mid-season and start that off last season, the Canucks aren't where they are this season, right? And Ryan Huska is doing the same thing. And I think the veteran leadership on this team has done a good job all season long. The way Gaudry has been able to elevate and help Zary and Pospisil, and that's very important. I think that for sure you have to try to instill those habits that are going to make you successful in the future. So, you know, you land where you land in the standings, but it's about nurturing the youngsters to make sure that they're successful in the future. And that there's a competitive nature to all NHL players, and nobody's going to quit, whether you're the San Jose Sharks this season or not. Everybody is going to, you know, try to win as much as possible. And I think that's the best way to go about it.
What's the last couple of weeks of the regular season look like for you? Do you have any more Hockey Night in Canada assignments down the stretch here, pal?
Yeah, so the Battle of Alberta, that's coming up in the coming weekend. I've got that one, and those are always, of course, a lot of fun no matter where the teams are in the standings, and the players love to get up and play against one another, so that'll be fun. And then after that, I've got an Oilers-Canucks game the next Saturday, which, you know, both of those teams, we'll see where they are in the Pacific Division. It might end up being a game where those 2 points mean a lot in terms of home ice advantage or just playoff positioning. So, and then after that, we're gearing up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's no better time of the year. Spring is in the air. I mean, what's it going to be, plus 19 or something tomorrow?
Yeah.
The snow is melting. And this is what I remember, right? Brooks, Alberta, growing up, the patio deck door was open. My dad's cutting the lawn, playoff hockey about to start. And it's that aroma of the spring air. And then that means, you know, the playoffs are here, and it's my favorite time of the year. So can't wait to get that all started.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time of year. Enjoy the rest of the season, Harnerine. And thanks again for hopping on and sharing some of your personal experiences with the celebration the Flames had Saturday, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, Logan.
Take care. Thank you. Harnerine Singh joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Hockey Night in Canada, Hockey Night in Punjabi as well. Mount Royal University, I guess it was Mount Royal College, as he said, alumni during his time at Mount Royal. One of the great guys in hockey. He was on the call Saturday, and you'll hear him a couple more times before the NHL transitions over to playoff time. But great to check in with our guy, Harnerine Singh, following Saturday's game against the LA Kings. Practice day for the Calgary Flames today. They're getting set to welcome in Anaheim on Tuesday, another Pacific Division rival coming to town. Let's check in from the Flames locker room on a practice day at Winsport Arena. Connor Zary checking in with the media. He's been on a bit of a different line away from Zary, away from, Caudry and Pospisil, but still doing some good things with Coronado and Sharon Govich. Here's Connor Zeri following a Flames practice on Monday.
What did you guys take away from a Saturday night performance where it seemed like you were pretty dominant, at least in terms of the 5-on-5 play throughout the course of the game?
Yeah, I think that's what we kind of went with. I think that was one of our most complete games of the season. We talked about that a bit this morning and how we played 5-on-5, how we were able to play through the neutral zone and turn that into offense. So I think we got to continue with that here down this final stretch and keep playing that way. And if we can stay consistent like that, especially at 5-on-5, we'll be in a good spot.
What was it, more of the connectivity? Is that sort of what jumps out in terms of what you did so well?
Yeah, for sure. It was staying to our structure. Obviously, LA plays a 1-3-1, and they're a really structured team. But we thought we played in our structure and stayed above guys, and we were able to turn pucks over. Like I said, through that neutral zone was huge, staying above them and not letting them get into our zone quick, and we could turn it right back on them.
How do you approach the final stretch of yourself personally with, I don't know if it's goals or if it's details, how do you approach the final stretch and what you want to accomplish?
Yeah, I think definitely set some personal goals for myself and really play hard and stay consistent within my game over the last couple weeks here, trying to push and just trying to show myself even more. I think it's big to end the regular season off on a good note and feel good about your game and feel good about yourself. So I think keep doing what I'm doing and add a little more and start creating a little more offense.
We heard Coach talk on Saturday, I believe, just sort of about the standards having to stay exactly the same. Doesn't matter if the playoffs are a possibility or not. How is that being communicated, and how are you guys trying to ensure that's true?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what we showed last game. I think if we play how we want to play like a team and stay within our structure, we're going to be totally fine. It's when we get loose and stray away from that's when we shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit. So I think it's just staying to that structure, having fun, enjoying it, coming to the rink. It's hockey, right? So you got to enjoy every day you can come to the rink and have fun with it. So I think that's the biggest thing, and then stay within our structure and keep playing hard.
Did you start to feel a bit of maybe late season chemistry with Yegor and Matt Saturday night? What did you make playing with those two?
Yeah, I think just trying to find your chemistry. Obviously, anytime you get on a new line, play with guys you haven't really played with before, it's building that chemistry and trying to find out where they're going to be and what kind of game they play when you're beside them. Obviously, you watch them and know what they do, but it's different when you get on the line with them. So I think just trying to feel comfortable and finding that chemistry.
What do you think are the biggest differences from playing an NHL schedule versus an AHL schedule? How have you adjusted to it?
Yeah, I know it's only 10 games, but it feels just a lot busier. I think you're always on the go. You're always practicing. You have an event. You're always traveling. So I think it's just making sure you're taking adequate time to feel good and rest your body, do those recovery things. I think that's the biggest difference. You don't really have 3-4 day stretches in between back-to-back games. So it's nice. I think you play every second game or every second day, and it's it's good because if you have a tough one, you got another game coming right away and you can prove yourself again. So I think those are little things that you try and take positives out of having a busy schedule.
What's the biggest area of growth you've seen from your own game?
Yeah, I think just playing with pace, playing with speed. I feel like I've been doing it pretty consistently, and I think that's something that I got to keep going and keep working on, and especially in these last couple weeks here is playing with that pace. And I think that's a big thing I've improved on, and just being able to make plays and find my game and be confident within that.
Off the ice, Connor, what's the biggest thing you've learned preparation-wise or work ethic-wise over the past few weeks from the veterans here?
Yeah, I just think as the regular season, as the year goes on, it gets later in the year and the games get tighter, everyone kind of plays a little harder and teams start to get ready for playoffs and gear up and push for the playoffs and whatnot. So I think just the pace gets up a little more and the involvement and whatnot. So I think every little inch counts, and it's those little things that matter when you get to this time of year. So that's definitely what I've seen ramped up.
I know you played center a bit junior in the AHL. Have you bugged the coaches a bit about getting a look there?
No, I haven't talked too much about it. I think it's just doing what I can day to day, and wherever I'm put, I try and do my best to excel at it. So I think no matter where I'm playing, wing, center, I think I'll just do whatever I can to kind of show myself and do what I can do. And happy on the wing right now, and if I'm at center, I'll be happy too. So it doesn't really matter too much to me.
Is playing at center in the NHL something you actually want to do?
I think it depends, right? I think it's a lot different of a position, and I haven't really played it at all at the NHL level really yet. So I think it's definitely something to see, and it's definitely something I'm comfortable with and like playing, but I also have found a nice home on the left side, and I like playing there as well. So to me, it's all about just feeling good with where you're at and what you're playing and doing what's ever needed.
Connor Zary checking in from Flames practice on Monday at Winsport. Lots of questions about his potential at center ice going forward. I can tell you at practice, he remained on the left side of Sharon Govich and Coronado for the Flames as they get set to welcome in the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday. No Rasmus Anderson. He was out for a maintenance day, and still no Andrew Mangiapane. He's missed the last couple of games for the Calgary Flames with an injury, so we'll see what to make of morning skate on Tuesday for a better idea of the lineup the Flames will deploy against the Anaheim Ducks. Take a break, come back on the other side, kicking off hour two with our pal Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet. It's prospect season, playoffs around the Canadian Hockey League getting underway. NCAA's Frozen Four is about to get going as well. We'll also check in on awards season with Sammy as the NHL's regular season comes down the stretch. Plus, I'll look at the Jays and the Astros ahead of their series kicking off tonight from Houston. All of that in hour two. It's next when Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.